This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast, brought to you by Jayhawk Slant. We go behind the scenes to bring you the inside scoop from Les Miles and his staff, the KU players and recruits. Here are your hosts of the Football Podcast, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Withers back with another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast with JayhawkSlant.com. We're in the studio to talk football because it just seemed like a slow time to talk about Kansas football. We're going to get into the latest news and really lay out how the future could play out because right now that is an absolute unknown. And to do that, I'm going to bring in my partner who is the authority on Kansas football. And in his 21st year of covering the Jayhawk program, let's bring in our publisher of Jayhawk Slant, John Kirby. Kirby, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Randy. Yeah, I like the intro, man. Nothing going on, right? Just a nice, calm, laid-back Sunday morning. Brew up some coffee and just talk KU football because there's not much to talk about, right?
Oh, yeah, just a slow, you know, post-pandemic or still pandemic spring day, not much happening. Said, hey, I texted you and said, hey, John, let's talk some football. Let's do a podcast. I mean, we got to be able to come up with at least one topic, right?
Yeah, sure. We can think up something, maybe a little five-minute podcast just for everybody to hear.
Exactly. So, John, let's get into this because, you know, obviously – there's a lot to talk about. We've been facetious. Let's get into this. Let's talk about what we really do know, what the facts are. Then later on, I'm going to ask you some questions that are more that we'll get into some speculation as to where this all could take us in your expert opinion. You got the email from KU Friday night at 7 p.m. that Les Miles, Kansas head football coach, was being placed on administrative leave. When you opened up your inbox and you saw that, what went through your mind?
Well, Randy, the first thing is when I hear the words administrative leave, you know, that, I mean, that's just, you know, in the business world, sports world, whatever, it's just usually, it doesn't bring a good ending, right? I mean, those two words next to each other usually don't spell good news coming. And I'll tell you what I did too. I had flashbacks to 2009. When I got this same update, when this happened with Mangino, and I can't remember how long that went down. It might have been a close to a month that whole thing went down, and I remember him getting placed on administrative leave. I can't remember the exact term that they called it while they handled their investigation. But you know, and Randy, what this does too now is it's going to give people at Kansas a chance to look back and go through the details of the report. They're going to be working with, you know, Peter Ginsburg, who's Miles' attorney. He released a statement yesterday that I had. I posted that on the message board. So, you know, we're just in that formality, if you will, of backdoor talk and things going on right now to find out where this is all going to go. And, you know, I just keep coming back to Kansas football, man. I mean, it is just... I don't know what 11-year cloud is hanging over it all and how Kansas football keeps coming back to these situations. And it doesn't matter the coach. It doesn't matter the administration. It doesn't matter who's in charge. It feels like it's almost like a never-ending thing. And, you know, there's some things I'm sure you're going to ask me that we're going to get into later here that, you know, there's concern. There's concern that cloud could stay there based on some of the things they've done to try to build this program the right way, which they absolutely have, but that could take a hit and could get set back, you know, as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you posted an article on Friday, and I think you said it perfectly. There is no easy way forward for this program. In the case of Les Miles and what we're talking about this morning and what is currently happening with this program, what comes next with the university and those steps?
Well, this is where legal counsel and attorneys and administrators and everybody make their money, man. I mean, this is where they this is where their paychecks are earned. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth, and there's going to be a lot of talk. And hey, listen, judging by the statement that I got from Peter Ginsburg yesterday, Miles' attorney, you know, they definitely feel there's a leg to stand on there for him to come out of this. And obviously, you know, there's going to be discussions on the back end with Kansas legal counsel and their administration. And hey, listen, I feel like a professional on this. I mean, I you know, this type of thing has come along way too often for Kansas football. So, you know, and there's a, trust me, you know, I know opinions vary on Jeff Long, but I can guarantee you this, and I know for a fact, you know, there are plans in place depending on the outcomes. And I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit later on the different ways this can go.
Mm. Just adding another layer to this, because there are so many, and this is such a complex situation with such horrific timing for a program in the situation that Kansas is in. You know, spring football is coming up fast in maybe one of the most critical spring practice periods this program has had in quite some time, after seeing the spring and the off-season program wiped out last year due to the COVID pandemic. I mean, this is, I don't think you can overstate how important spring practice is this year. How fast does all of this need to resolve for that, for this program to get what it needs out of that critical time of development?
Well, Randy, it's, I don't know that there's a right answer to this. In terms of spring football, I have to tell you, I do think there's some flexibility. Number one, if they can buy time for DeBoer to continue to meet with the staff and come up with some offensive things, they can push spring practice back. They can push a spring game back. That's no big deal. Nobody's going out on the road recruiting. See, the problem is, Randy, in the past, you have to look at spring football games, and people always try to end those things like April 15th or the 22nd, so they can get out on the road and spend 6 weeks recruiting. But remember, that's not going to go on this year. They're not allowed on the road. Right now, recruits can't come in and meet with them and go face-to-face. So the actual timing of this, I don't know that there's an emphasis on saying we've got to get this done, because spring football can be moved around if needed to fit what happens with this situation. You know, recruits can't even visit campuses until June 1. We're hoping that the NCAA keeps that, you know, in line. So, it, you know, I think the biggest thing, Randy, right now with getting some resolution and figuring this out is the current players. You know, I think these current players want to, you know what's going on. I mean, these kids are sitting around, and that's probably the thing that worries me the most. So when you look at recruiting right now, they've got six spots left. You've got Corey Hendricks, a big offensive lineman, who's going to announce today. I think I have a good feeling about that one there. So there's not a lot of spots left. So the recruiting aspect and getting going there are some things that can be shuffled around.
Now, you and I were talking off the air before we started, and I can tell one of your chief concerns is the future of this program and how it could be impacted by the wrong move being made in what is clearly a very complicated situation. I know you've made the point that you like the roster of the future, or the future of the roster, excuse me. What kind of impact could this have on that?
Well, listen, this is awful timing with one thing in mind, and there is one thing that changes all this, and that's the fact when they came in with the COVID rule and put the one-time transfer rule in, that changes the entire complexion of what Kansas is going through right now. And this is my biggest concern. This is my biggest concern of all this. I'm not even concerned right now nearly as much about what happens with Les Miles and that path forward as much as it is keeping the players on the roster in the program. And I'm going to tell you why, Randy. People, you get a lot of people who follow KU football from afar, and they really don't understand KU football. They really don't know it. Even some of the fans who think they know it don't know it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kansas football's been a different animal for decades. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of success. So you've got to see the success sometimes in different ways. And I posted this on the board a couple weeks ago. For the first time in a long time, I'm actually excited about what's being built. And now when I say that, they've done it the right way. They have taken high school kids. They have taken some beatings on the field. They have, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they have been patient with this. They've done it right. They have a lot of underclassmen. And Mason, Mangino, the guys that won at Kansas, they got beat up and knocked around before they got better. Well, that's what I think's going on right now. When you look through the roster, there is some talent in the younger classes. You've got some D linemen. That defensive line is going to be really good in the future. That secondary mm-hmm. is going to be really good. I think there's some offensive linemen who can develop. I think there's some skill players at wide receiver. You know, running backs, I'm still kind of waiting to see. You know, obviously you got to find a quarterback. But for the first time, there's young options, and there's a lot of them in there. But here's the problem, and this is what concerns me. Caron Prunty is a freshman All-American. He can pack his bags today and head back to Virginia, where he's from. He had offers from Virginia, Virginia Tech. He can get on a plane today. His parents can buy him a one-way ticket. He can be gone with no repercussions at all. He doesn't have to sit out. You get a one-time free transfer now with these rules. Marcus Harris, that guy is going to be a legit Big 12 lineman. Again, mm-hmm. he could pack up. He could hit the road. He could be gone. He could go back home. He could sign at Mississippi State, 3 hours from his house, and he can you see what I'm saying? I mean, there's some things that concern you here. If Les Miles is gone, now Chidera Uzodiribe is gone to SMU, okay? Who did he recruit? Andrew Simpson, Damarian Alexander, Trey Staley. Those guys committed. They didn't commit to Kansas. Kids don't commit to schools. People will never be able to sell me on that stuff. No way. Kids and the parents of the players, they commit to people. I mean, people always say, make sure you see yourself at a school for 4 years when you commit there. That's BS. You commit to the people who are recruiting you. So with this one-time rule, if Damarian Alexander doesn't like the direction or where things are going, he's got two things. If they get rid of the head coach, he can ask out of his LOI, and they're probably going to have to, you know, work with him and do that. I'm just talking speculation here. Or what he can do is, if they play hardball and tell him they won't let him out of his LOI, he can take his one-time transfer rule before he ever gets to campus and go somewhere else. So this is my biggest thing, is Kansas got beat up on the field last year, but they did it by playing young kids and getting them ready for the future. This is the key to Kansas program, because I believe that this program is headed in the right direction. There is no doubt, after doing a roster analysis, looking at the players, the skill that's there in several different positions, and how much these kids are going to develop over the next 2 years. So that is my biggest concern right now, Randy, because I'm going to tell you what cannot happen. They've taken 2 years to do this thing right, and what cannot happen is see 6, 7, 8 key players bolt. And guess what happens now? You went one step forward and two back, and now you're setting yourself back another at least 2 years to try to get this thing going right. So I'm telling you, that is one thing I'm watching maybe closer than anything.
I was listening to some sports talk on the radio on Friday and heard them saying that Jeff Long, as the Kansas athletic director, should have known about Les Miles' past. Does he get the blame in this situation?
Oh, no. And I've said this on the message board. There's no way. I mean, you cannot – if you don't like Jeff Long, you can like him for other things, but you can't like him for that side of it. I've heard people say that too. I mean, Randy, this information got out because the USA Today sued LSU to do it. And then they brought in a law firm to come in and do a thorough investigation once some of this stuff got uncovered. You have to understand, LSU was trying their damnedest to keep this stuff down. I mean, they weren't saying anything to anybody about this. That's why it's such big news, is because of all this stuff that was swept under the rug. So when you went to ask questions to people or do background checks, a lot of this stuff isn't going to come up because they were fighting to do what they could to keep this stuff all under wraps. So, it took a lawsuit and this thing being heard by a judge before it was even able to be dismissed or put out in the public. So, you know, I don't know if Jeff Long would have asked Oliva, who is the LSU AD. I mean, at that time, this was a closed, sealed document that nobody ever thought was going to be open. So, you know, they were keeping this thing down. So, you know, there's blame that can go around in the athletic department on a lot of things, I'm sure. And I know I've read the comments from people, but boy, that part's not one of them.
Let's talk speculation and the things that could happen or might happen because of this situation. John, like you mentioned earlier, when coaches are put on administrative leave, the outcome usually is not good. If a change is made at the head coaching position, what options does Kansas football have at this point?
Well, Randy, there's really three, okay? There would be three. One would be, you hire an interim from the inside that keeps continuity going. You find somebody that knows the players, that the players like, and that understands the program and can keep some things moving forward. You see what they can do with the young kids this coming fall. And hey, maybe there's progress. Maybe KU goes out and wins four football games. Maybe they're competitive in four or five other games, you know, deep into the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and the fan base and people start seeing that there's strides being made, and maybe you keep that guy down the road, okay? But, you know, that keeps continuity going. That keeps everything in the program that you've worked to keep fighting for intact. The other thing that you could do is go the interim route again, but bring somebody in from the outside. Jeff Long did this with John L. Smith at Arkansas when he had the Bobby Petrino thing. Baylor did it with Jim Grobe back, you know, when Briles left. Now, and you know, people always refer to that, but you got to understand, Baylor was pretty good. Okay, I mean, they're winning 9, 10, 11 games a year, so it's not like their program was in bad shape. So you had people interested in that job while Grobe kept it afloat for that 10 months that he did it. So, you know, that's the other one. And the third one would be, is you hire a firm and you go out there and you find out what head coaches or what people would be interested in taking the KU job at this time of the year under the situation that everything is. And I just don't know who you get. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it now. I've had a few people reach out to me asking me about the job. So, you know, there would be interest, but you got to be careful. Like I said, the timing with this thing, I mean, if you did something like that, I'd almost think you'd have to retain half the staff. I mean, you cannot get these kids leaving the program. That is the biggest thing that I can stress right now. And, you know, if some guy out there that's a good candidate says, I'm not keeping any assistant, if you give me the head coaching job, I don't know that you can hire him right now. Because these kids, like I said, they can pack up and leave. So, you know, those are the three situations. That's all you can do. Those are the scenarios. And there really is no other. So it's going to be one of those three.
You know, if there's anybody that is a veteran of Kansas football coaching changes, it's you, Kerb. It's funny. It's sad. You have to laugh. That's the thing. You have to laugh to keep from crying. You've covered this program longer than anyone, and you've been through this situation way too often. If it's up to you, what do you do, John?
Well, of the three situations and scenarios that I just laid out just there, I would probably look at hiring an interim from within the program, getting him through spring football, getting them through summer. You've got to, hey, I'm telling you, Ben Anacchione, the strength and conditioning coach, he does a great job. I've heard a lot of good things. Those kids, I talked to somebody the other day that said, hey, you should see this defensive line. I mean, these guys look good. They look like a Big 12 defensive front. So you've got things in place, okay? I don't know if I would upset the apple cart right now. And I would think about what my best path forward is with hiring from the inside and getting them through this year and seeing what happens. Obviously, they're, you know, bringing somebody in from the outside. I don't know if that upsets some of the assistants, and then the players see that and it rubs off on the players. But I think right now the safest route, Randy, would be going with an interim from the inside. I don't know who, you know, DeBoard's kind of the point guy, acting guy right now. He's brand new. You know, he's probably just learning his way around the facility. So, you know, could he be an offensive coordinator and the active interim coach? That's a lot to ask of a new guy coming in. I don't know. I think there's some guys on the inside that would be good candidates to keep this thing afloat, or whatever, whoever it is, keep your systems in place too. You know, DJ Elliott's defense looked good at times last year. He's going to have a lot of kids back on that defense. So I'm just saying, I don't know if you want to just run the entire system off right now. I think I would see, I would take my chances and see what this fall would bring with these guys here.
That's our man, John Kirby, publisher of JayhawkSlant.com. I'm your host, Randy Withers. Feels good to be back in the studio with this edition of the Inside Slant podcast, and we figured it was time to take a few minutes to just go over things for our listeners and for the subscribers to Jayhawk Slant, to give you kind of a state of the program as things stand here on Sunday morning. And we want you to know we will be back with more news and thoughts as this thing continues to develop. If you are not a subscriber right now to JayhawkSlant.com, what better time is there to get all the information and insight on the ever-evolving situation with the football program and Les Miles, as well as the Kansas men's basketball program, which is gearing up for the Big 12 tournament and the start of March Madness? No better time to subscribe and get access to all the insight, news, and information from the best in the business at covering your favorite team. Thanks again for joining us. We will talk to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.